The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 480. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. This episode is going to be kind of a collaboration between myself and Gerald Glassford, the man behind the pop culture cosmos. Now, for folks that have been listening to the PVD Cast for a while, you know that once a month, I appear as a guest on the PCC. Gerald and I talk about the state of pro wrestling, which basically we run down a lot of the news and we do some fun segments as well on the show, but it's basically very pro wrestling based and pro wrestling oriented. In an attempt to try to get the word out about the state of pro wrestling when it happens, I have kind of reached out to Gerald and we talked about we would release our episodes kind of within the few days of each other. Now, this episode of the PCC will be dropping here, I think, in the next couple of days. And anyways, you'll have the audio format, which you are listening to right now, has already dropped on Thursday. So it's something new. We're going to try to, you know, as I said, collaborate and have this episode out on our respective channels and outlets within about a few days of each other to see if that helps out with getting the listeners and getting more interaction from folks and whatnot. And I'm real excited for it. I've known Gerald for now, probably a good 3 or 4 years. And I appreciate him having me on his show. So just a little bit of synergy, a little bit of collaboration, as I've said before. And so with that, you know what? I'm not going to waste any more time. I've given you the rundown of what you can expect. So let's get on into it, ladies and gentlemen. Right after this break, I'm going to sit down with Gerald Glassford. You're going to hear our newest installment of The State of Pro Wrestling.
And we're back for another State of Pro Wrestling. It's Gerald Glassford. I was in the back in our gorilla position, per se, off camera, just get myself pumped up, asking my tag team partner, hit me with some chops, man. Get me ready. Get me ready. I might want to get pumped up, man.
And I did. I did give you those chops after I finished dumping that water on my head and getting all ready to go.
Baby oil. You got to do the baby oil. That's right. Yes, a lot of baby oil. Got to look. Yeah, Jack, pumped up. Yeah, there you go. Flexing out there. Get my biceps really all ready to go. Woo! Yeah, there you go. Looking all good for the camera. Hard camera. There you go. All right. But it is, of course, the State of Pro Wrestling. It is, of course, Gerald Glassford, along with my good friend, the master of the PVD Cast, and also Matt Talk. It is, of course, John Orlando. We are, of course, the tag team champions of the pro wrestling podcast universe. And if we aren't, we're going to go ahead and challenge them in a barbed wire cage match indeed. But John, I wanted, before we start getting into the whole knee deep of everything, I did want to touch on something that we have not touched on since our last meeting together, but you have been posting a lot about it, and that is the death of Sabu. Yes, speaking of barbed wire and things of that nature, his last match, his retirement match, and you know retirement matches aren't, you know, usually what they're cracked up to be, because they usually have matches after. In fact, he was already talking about having another match after his retirement match. Before his untimely passing, we're talking about Sabu here. He did have his last match here in Las Vegas, which we'll talk about here upcoming as well in regards to WrestleMania possibly coming back. But Sabu passing away at the age of 60 or 61, depending on which source you have. RVD, I think, said 61, so let's go with that. Your thoughts on the death and the passing of Sabu, a truly innovative individual, the things that he could do in the ring. I saw him in the 90s. I actually saw him live in the 90s when he would come here to the National Wrestling Conference, the NWC, one of the small indie promotions that actually, for a brief second, had a chance to go somewhere, but unfortunately it didn't. But he was here several times, wrestling Cactus Jack. In fact, one of their famous matches, actually, I believe the casino brawl spilled out into the casino, and Cactus Jack, I think, pile drive Sabu on top of a blackjack table, and everything went flying. But since you can't, there's no video footage of it. There's a video footage of the entire match except for that because of obvious gambling reasons, although that would have been just such a great thing to go ahead and try. I know T.C. Martin, the promoter. I don't know him personally, but I said I know where he works, I believe, on occasion for a radio station here in town. So maybe one of these days I'll go ahead and approach him on that. But I saw Sabu through the years, have enjoyed immensely his style of pro wrestling, what he sacrificed, what he gave to the industry. But I wanted to hear from your thoughts about Sabu. Please let us know in detail what he meant to your life as a wrestling fan.
I think that as a wrestling fan, he represented the term you used, innovation. He was something that I had never seen before. I can remember when I first learned of Sabu, and that was through an Apter mag, and they were covering the FMW match with the Sheik and Sabu versus, I think it was Tarzan Goto, and I can't remember who else. Onita. Mm-hmm. And they had...
Oh, yeah, you always have to include Onita.
Yeah. But it was the match that they had with the kerosene-soaked rags and the ring was on fire. Like, I saw photos of that. And, of course, just made legendary the footage just a couple weeks ago on Dark Side of the Ring and when they talked about the Sheik. But to me, seeing that, I immediately thought that those four men were crazy. Like, they almost set the baseball stadium on fire, and they were willing to compete in those environment when it could be completely chaotic. You don't know what fire's going to do. I mean, it wreaks havoc in people. I mean, all around the United States, you look at all those forest fires that we've had recently, there's no predictability. And for those four men to go and try to have a match as a teenager reading that magazine and that PWI or whatever it was, it really struck a chord with me. And it wasn't until much later when I first got a chance to watch ECW, when ECW became on one of the syndicated stations where I was living at the time, that I got to really see, Sabu and see what he brought to the table, because the Hurricane Ranas, the Arabian Face Buster, the triple jump moonsault, all these crazy moves that I'd only seen done in the rings of Mexico or Brian Pillman. And here this guy's doing it. And, there's just something about the character too. He didn't have to speak. His action spoke for him, and just an amazing athlete. And I don't think many people would say that about him, but they should, because it took a lot of athletic skill to pull off some of those moves and to pull off some of those matches. And not to mention, the amount of injuries he had, a broken neck and scars on his body. And I'm sure, we know he's infamous for taping the bicep up in that barbed wire match.
But super glue became his friend.
Yeah. Yeah. And so for me as a fan, I just knew you were in for something special when Sabu wrestled. And I admit to it, I'm an ECW mark. I saw a lot of ECW live events when I was in college. And just when Sabu was on the card, you knew you were going to get something wild and crazy. And man, 60 years old or 61 years old, that's way too young for anyone to pass on.
Absolutely. And just about ready to hopefully enjoy his life after wrestling, even though he had, you know, was told RVD that I think he was going to have another retirement match, so to speak. So yeah, absolutely just devastating for the industry to see the passing and the death of one of the greatest icons of hardcore wrestling ever in Sabu. But it doesn't go without saying that, you know, he is somebody that will always influence the world of professional wrestling. He'll influence wrestlers for years to come. And the suicidal, homicidal, genocidal, death-defying maniac, Sabu, will truly be missed and always be remembered within the pantheon of pro wrestling. So I truly want to thank Sabu, wherever he is, for everything that he gave to the industry and to all the fans out there who will dearly miss it, and will hopefully be able to relive his fantastic matches in the years to come. WWE Vault actually did showcase a little bit of that so far, but I'm assuming they have a ton of footage out there that they could get and they can showcase on their WWE Vault channel. Then plus there's also a ton of matches that you can relive out there on YouTube already. But John, I just appreciate your thoughts on Sabu. And again, if you have thoughts on Sabu out there, please let us know in the comments or popculturecosmos@yahoo.com or at the PVD cast as well. But my friend, there's still much more to talk about because there is a lot of pro wrestling on the slate. In fact, we just had a very, very big weekend. I know they don't want to say it's a number one versus number two battle going on, but it sure seems like the WWE takes great care in scheduling things right on some important dates for AEW. And on the weekend of Double or Nothing, which for once wasn't put in Las Vegas, it had been in Las Vegas every year up to this point. It is actually, they did it, I believe, in Arizona this time around. So with that, it is, of course, what they scheduled around it, the WWE, or actually right on it. In fact, tried to target it to try and lessen the fact that they put a Saturday night's main event with John Cena and R-Truth in the main event there, plus also as well NXT Battleground, where Trick Williams and Joe Henry battled for the TNA title. Your thoughts on a real busy weekend? Once again, I just absolutely love the structure of Saturday night's main event. Not because of the nostalgia, those touches are great. I just love how clean and okay, the matches, they have sometimes too many commercials on it, but then again, every WWE show suffers from a match that gets cut away too many times because of commercial, but it's just so clean formatted. It's just so well presented. I don't know if it's a ratings winner or not for NBC, but gosh dang, I hope they don't get rid of this anytime soon.
No, you know what? I'll be 100% honest. I did not watch Battleground. I actually kind of forgot that Battleground was even happening, to be 100% honest. It slipped past me somehow, and I didn't even see it on my social media accounts until, you know, the show had started. And then I was like, oh, crap. But I will say Saturday night's main event is another home run. You know, I liked the card going into it because I definitely think that there were some really good matches, and there were. I love the idea of the R-Truth storyline. Like, it makes so much sense because it gives Cody that breather that he needs. It keeps things fresh with John Cena. There's already a built-in storyline about how R-Truth and his wacky way made John Cena his hero. And then for them to face each other, I thought that was great. I actually thought Logan Paul and Jey Uso was a really good match too. Overall, I agree with you. I think that they're doing the perfect blend of nostalgia with the current product, and it's tight and short and to the point. Doesn't seem like there's a lot of filler to it. So again, kudos to the WWE for another Saturday night's main event. That was pretty darn good.
So I want to ask you this, of course, in the main event, we'll talk about Saturday night's main event first. The main event was a non-title match between R-Truth, who was trying to battle his hero. And as far as John Cena is concerned, fortunately didn't work out well for R-Truth, but it did bring back the return of Cody Rhodes, who will now be, I believe, at the next pay-per-view, PLE, excuse me. We'll be facing off in a tag team match against Logan Paul and also John Cena versus Jey Uso and Cody Rhodes, which they set up at Saturday Night's Main Event. So obviously it's still big to them, because if they're shooting those kind of angles, then it obviously is still big to them out there. Well, I want to ask you, I was talking to my good friend on the air the other day, TJ Johnson, in regards to his thoughts on the heel turn so far. Your thoughts on the heel turn so far for John Cena. I obviously the continuance of The Rock's presence would have helped as far as WrestleMania. And again, we'll get into more of that when we talk about exactly where WrestleMania might be headed here next year. Your thoughts on the John Cena heel turn? Is it working still for you at this point in time?
Yeah, I think it's working great. I don't see any big issues with it. I think it's better than the other heel turn that they've done, which is Becky Lynch. I think that's been a complete disaster. I think that, we could talk about that as its own separate issue. But I think John has done a great job. I think the way that he's done a lot with his mannerisms that are more heelish, and obviously the way he wrestles too. But those mannerisms to me are the more important details. They kind of paint the picture. Like the press conference was a great example. Like he's somber, he's serious. There's no inflection. He's flat when he speaks. And I think that that has helped put that character and that heel turn into a different light. And I like it. I don't see anything. I mean, look, we all know by the end of the year that he's going to be back as a babyface. We know that that's coming, but I'm enjoying the ride so far of heel John Cena.
Okay. And you said, you know, you weren't very happy with what Becky Lynch is. I think Becky Lynch is in a hard spot here, mm-hmm. what they've done to her. And she wants to be a heel because her husband is a heel. You know, the new major faction on the scene with Pauly. And of course, Bronson Reed, and of course, also so Bron Breakker. Too many Brons on that. They should have, I think Bronson Reed should not, they should have gotten another. I think they should, okay, they got to bring back Braun Strowman and make it an all Braun thing. Braun. Bronson Reed, yeah, there you go. But I digress. I just want to say that I'm not into that Becky Lynch heel turn, and I don't think that's her fault either. I think she wants to be a heel because her husband's a heel. And it'd be so, you know, just for, you know, whether traveling purposes or just to change things up. Just, you know, when she came out, she did acting. She went on her book tour, things of that nature. She wanted to probably do something different, came back. I just think who is working against Lyra Valkyria, with the wings and all that, you know, she does that. And I'm like, I'm not high on her yet. I think she still needs to. I don't think she's ready to be put into the position that the WWE gave her. As far as I think that's why I don't think it's working. And I'll just leave it. I just think that Lyra has still needed some more time to grow as an individual, especially on her promos, before you put her in that spotlight against a top. Or somebody that has been at the top individual like Becky Lynch. It does not make, I know Becky, when doing it, she's trying to give the rub to Lyra Valkyria. And it just seems like to me that Lyra Valkyria needs more time, and it just does not elevate either character at this point.
Well, I think Lyra should never have been called up to the main roster. I'll say
it. I agree.
I think she needs a little more down there in NXT. She needs to get more training. I think she had – look, the character is a little bit weird, but I think there's potential there. There's potential to have a really interesting character, but she has to sort that out, and you can't sort it out.
Whose idea was with the wings? Is this another WWE rib, or is this her idea to go down with the wings? That's not – it's not gobbledygook or Red Rooster level, but it's just – it's – I understand Valkyria, wings, you know, I get the – it just – I would have presented her in a different fashion because it comes off as silly to me.
And I agree with you. I think like her promo skills, they're doing what probably shouldn't do was you just had Becky Charlotte and Tiffany do the dirty, you know, laundry. Oh, who's in your text? It's Kaiser. And they're doing the same thing. Only it's, oh, you're less important than your husband. Like it's the same shtick. And can't we come up with something else for a better promo? Lyra could be, you know, the young upstart underdog. I've won. I beat you, et cetera, et cetera. Instead, they're going back to like the lowest common denominator, so to speak, you know, and something that's already we just saw a month ago. So I don't know why they're reusing it. Becky, if she's going to be a heel, just go with Heyman's group and be there. If that's what you want, then let's do it. Go with Seth and be part of the group, which I really think the group needs a female character. If it's not Becky Lynch, it's got to be some heel or some female heel, excuse me, that can do it if we're, you know, going to have this kind of dangerous alliance like stable.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. So, I mean, again, there's many issues we always have with the booking, and I, you know, I'm sure over the course of the year we'll point that out. But just wanted to make note of that where the WWE stood this past weekend, and then NXT. I know you said you didn't catch it, but the major news coming out of there was, you know, that the alliance between WWE and TNA has now grown even more so. With the fact that for the first time, a WWE contracted wrestler has won the TNA World Championship as Trick Williams defeated Joe Henry and now is holding the belt and now is going back and forth between NXT and TNA. I think it's an interesting move. I still am not 100% sure what this alliance is. It WWE feeding money to TNA? Is it just promotional? Is it just a working relationship? What does WWE have to gain by it? Because in the case of AAA, which we'll see next month, now that they own 51% of the company, they own 51% of the company. It's theirs, you know, in essence. So they have to go ahead and make sure that they do everything they can to push it. I'm not sure what the same motivations are for TNA and WWE as far as maybe as a developmental tool to keep getting the NXT kids some really good work. So with that said, Joe Henry's time as champion for now is done. I don't know where he goes from here. Again, I am not a big fan of what he did at WrestleMania. I do not like the fact that they squashed him in a 3-minute match with Randy Orton. So I am concerned. I'm concerned after that squash that even though everybody seems to be like, oh yeah, it was great doing it. It was a great time doing it. I was saying all the right things. I don't think image wise, it was the best thing for TNA and Joe Henry to do that squash at WrestleMania. It just was not in hindsight. Your thoughts on that? Again, Joe Henry, where does he go from here? Trick Williams, this is obviously another, award in his basket because he is a very talented wrestler. A lot of promise with Trick Williams, I see. I think he's really got a good, bright future coming up for him. Your thoughts on Joe Henry, does he still have a bright future as well?
Well, I don't know. I can't answer that, Gerald. You know,
I mean, he'll always have that fan support.
Yes,
because of what you know, the whole song and the smile and everything he does. But yeah, tell me more.
Well, I really don't know. I think you and I both disagreed about this, as I didn't see anything wrong with the WrestleMania spot. But I do understand where you're coming from. From a business standpoint, that may not have been the smartest, you know, because he got jobbed out, he got beat quickly, and he's the TNA champion, and that doesn't look good for TNA. And if you're partnering with TNA or whatever the relationship is, that kind of can make things really, really awkward, for lack of a better term. I still want something, because Anthem is still in charge of TNA, correct?
I think so, yes. It is still the parent company of TNA. And I don't know. I'm not familiar with any of the leadership of that. I do know Tommy Dreamer still involved, I believe, in a creative process. Of course, Santino Marella is there as the commissioner, but I believe also behind the scenes as well. I wasn't happy that they got rid of Gail Kim. Gail Kim really had done a great deal with, as you actually commented, that TNA Women's Wrestlers was the finest group division at one time in the world. And a lot of that has to go to her. And they decided to show her the door because of her maybe past allegiance with Scott D'Amore, who they also let go last year. You know, we've talked about that on the show. So again, I don't know what direction this TNA is headed. We'll talk about them a little bit more when it concerns the number three here later in the show. But yeah, it just, again, for Trick Williams, this is great. For Joe Henry, who a lot of people still have aspirations for him to go and progress to a WWE main roster slot, I don't know where that leaves him. Again, WWE has not always done great things with wrestlers that have a lot of momentum behind them. We've talked about Sami Zayn. We've talked about, of course, LA Knight. You know, individuals such as that who had super huge responses from the crowd, and they really didn't do enough with them.
Matt Cardona is another example, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And well, when is he coming back to WWE or AEW? I mean, his wife's there, Chelsea Green, who is, you know, even whether she wins or loses, is still doing a fantastic job in a lot of people's eyes, breaking her nose in her last match, but still being able to go ahead and still amaze a lot of people out there with her entertainment skills, I should say that. So be that as it may, I think that right now it's in a decent place, WWE. They're still selling out to the highest dollar. Again, we'll talk about that just after we finish talking AEW, but we'll see what happens, my friend. But heading into the summer months, King of the Ring, as far as all the other stuff that they're going to be doing, SummerSlam and the like, I know that you and I will be talking about that. I think they're at a good space. I don't think they're at a great space. I know their ratings are not on the higher end of the spectrum on Netflix right now. So we'll see what happens. I just think it's the summer lull, the after WrestleMania lull, which happens quite frequently. They have to find a creative way to spice things up, and I hope they sincerely do that, John.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think they're in a very good space. I just feel, here's my question, is that there is so much now that the WWE is doing. They're partnering with TNA. They own 51% of AAA. I don't know, and I know a while ago it was rumored that they were working with All Japan for a while.
I know they are working with Marigold.
So. Marigold. And then they have all this product. They have NXT, they have Evolve, they have all this content that I'm wondering, eventually, much like many empires in history, the bigger they get, the more likely they're going to fracture and crumble and whatnot. And so I'm just wondering, is the WWE, just with all the content that they're putting out there, everything that they're putting out there, are they stretching themselves too thin? And I guess that this summer will be maybe a very good indicator whether I'm right or wrong, that they might not be stretching themselves too thin, or maybe they are. I don't know. It's going to be interesting over these next couple months to see what goes on with the WWE.
Once again, it is John Orlando, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching, listening. Truly appreciate it. If you have any thoughts on the WWE and where it stands coming out of NXT Battleground and Saturday Night's Main Event, heading into the summer months with King of the Ring, also as well, of course, King and Queen of the Ring, I should say, and also as well, of course, SummerSlam and all that. Please let us know your thoughts right here at popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. But John, great to still have you in the ring here with me as my tag team partner. We're here 1/2 hour down, 1/2 hour to go here on the show. It is, of course, a State of Pro Wrestling right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos and the PVD cast. Please go ahead and subscribe today, YouTube, Facebook, all of our great shows. Before we get to your thoughts on AEW coming out of Double or Nothing and into their now biggest show of the year in All In, because Double or Nothing was, it is no longer, it is All In. Your thoughts, my friend, on what you're doing here upcoming on shows, whether it's the PVD cast, Matt Talk, what have you. Although Kathy Bates, she says, you know, always some new quote about what went on. She had a quote about Gary Marshall over the past week that I was like, wow, that's a bummer for her as far as when she was going through the auditioning process a while back. So your thoughts, my friend, on what's going on with the PVD cast and Matt Talk as well.
Well, the PVD cast is right now almost ready for a new episode coming up here tomorrow night. Right now, I got the opportunity to sit down and talk to the adventure illusionist, Rich Manley. And Gerald, I say this with all honesty, I learned so much. I was so ignorant about how the world of magic works, and he taught me a lot. And so I do appreciate it. It's a great conversation. He's got a TV show project that's on Tubi that he's promoting, as well as a movie that's going to be hopefully wrapped up here real soon. He's even going out on tour. So Rich is a very busy man. It was a great conversation. So definitely check it out over at, of course, pvdcast.com or wherever you find great podcasts. And as for Matt Talk, we had a couple hiccups in the schedule. So we're back to our regular schedule, which is the second and fourth Sundays of the month. We do it live through the Facebook page at Matt Talk Podcast. And we just completed the big payoff, which is an episode in season six. I want to say it was episode, I don't remember the episode number, but it was.
I like how you said it. It was episode.
I can't remember. I don't have my notes.
Oh, you're like me. You're like me in the Pop Culture Cosmos. Gosh, I got 450 something on one, the PC Multiverse, the Friday shows, 400. I just know it's like 21 behind whatever the Pop Culture Cosmos is at. That's how I remember. And then on the Lakers Fast Break, I'm in 1300 something. I don't remember until I actually look it up on when I'm posting it. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. All right, there you go. So yeah, it's just numbers at this point.
It is. But anyways, it is an episode from season six. So definitely check that out as well. Once again, Facebook page is at Matt Talk Podcast. So
there you go. Absolutely. And again, please like and subscribe. Surely could use your help on the Pop Culture Cosmos and also as well the PVD cast, Facebook, YouTube pages, and Twitch as well. So, my friend, back into pro wrestling, AEW had its Double or Nothing, Anarchy in the Arena. They had the Owen Hart Cup Final, the Anarchy in the Arena. I know you're shaking your head. I don't mind hardcore wrestling. I know it gets a little goofy beyond that, but it's still, I'm willing to give it leeway. I know that others are trashing it. I know that some are praising it. Some are praising it. I, as a fan of the original Memphis concession stand brawls, are willing to let those fights that go into the stands or something that, in this case, it didn't go in the stands. It just went out in the specific whole arena, per se. I did love the stadium fights that they have in the past, especially the one during COVID. But I will ask you this, the Hangman Page one where he's riding on the horse. I thought that was really interesting. Yeah. I give AEW some leeway in this case, but it sounds like you don't. First off, before we get into the Owen Hart Cup final and how they booked that, your thoughts on the Anarchy in the Arena match. I'm not high on the Death Riders. I think they're just, you know, absolutely. But this is probably their best look, even in the loss that they've had in a long time. And then, of course, the Young Guns were involved in there too, and all that. And but they let the Faces win, you know, because nothing's on the line. So go ahead, let the Faces win. But your thoughts on Anarchy in the Arena match?
I just thought, here's my gripes. My gripe was that it was a little long. I think it went 17, 18 minutes.
Those always go long. Those big matches always go long, John, because they got so much they plan out ahead of time.
Well, and it doesn't help matters. How many people were in this match?
10, I
think. 10.
Outside of a run-in, I think, as well from Hook.
Right. That's where I'm confused on how many people were actually in this. If I was listing all of the matches best to worst, I'm putting this as the worst because of that.
Really?
And the stupid Young Bucks dressed up like Ben Franklin.
That was
dumb. I did not dig this match. I'm sorry. I don't know. I think that there was more entertaining matches. Like for an example, I felt like Ricochet and Mark Briscoe was a better match, and it was kind of hardcore-ish, if you will, with the last man standing. So I thought it was better than the Anarchy in the Arena. I think the Anarchy.
I agree with you on that. Yeah, I agree with you on that. But again, I have a soft spot for those type of brawls. But yeah, the what the Young Guns are doing. Again, you and I are not impressed by the Young Guns. We're on that other side. You know, people will probably call us Young Guns haters and whatnot. I just don't see their body of work as being Hall of Fame worthy. And I just see what they're doing now in AEW. It doesn't move the needle for me, and I don't think it moves the needle for a lot of people unless you're a hardcore AEW fan. If it does, more power to you. But that being said, the Death Riders, they don't do anything for me either, and it's just a shame because those are your top guys. In fact, your champion in Jon Moxley is among them, and I know that Jim Cornette calls them the Boar Horsemen. I don't want to say they're boring. They just don't move the needle for me. They haven't created any excitement or interest. And I'm not sure the face groups are really getting me riled up either. I just see so many missed opportunities. When I watch AEW and I watch AEW booking and I watch AEW as far as a product, I just see so many missed opportunities. Like, why is MJF? Where's this going with MJF and the Hurt Business? The Hurt Business should be just doing what they're doing and becoming the most notable tag team in the business today. They have every opportunity to do it if they're given that. And it just seems like they're having this weird angle with MJF becoming part of the Hurt Business. And I don't think it's helping either them or MJF, who should be at the top of the card, in my opinion, even still. But yeah, it is what it is. But at the top of the card was the Owen Hart Cup final. I do like the fact that they are honoring Owen Hart, that they've been allowed to honor Owen Hart. Whether you say it's for political reasons or what have you, I don't care. Let you go in there. It still keeps his memory alive, which is obviously something that should continue to happen because of what he brought to the industry. But be that as it may, the Owen Hart Cup final was, of course, Hangman Page versus Will Ospreay. What we saw out of it, because All In is supposed to lead up if they're pushing Will Ospreay as the champion. It looks like they're going to push Page as his first challenger because Page ended up winning. But does that make Page the number one challenger? So to Jon Moxley, I guess. Well, I don't know where this is going. I'm assuming that it allows Page to challenge Moxley first. Moxley wins, but then loses it to Ospreay, because Ospreay ultimately looks like the one that they're going to put as their champion. Your thoughts on all this? And then we'll get into the ladies' side with Mercedes Moné versus Toni Storm as well.
Okay, I must say that I think that definitely you're correct that Will Ospreay is the next champ. How they get there, I don't know, because
I'm assuming it's going to be in Texas at All In. I'm assuming that it's supposed to be their biggest show of the year. So.
That would logically make sense, but we're talking about logic in professional wrestling. That doesn't go together very often. I got to say that I did like Ospreay and Hangman Page. I think that was a solid match. It was very exciting. Maybe this shows what's wrong with the booking. Like, after that, I was like, oh, okay, cool. Page one. Like, that's it. Like, not, oh, page one, I wonder how this is going to work out for the world title picture. Like, it just, to me, my reaction was, oh, okay, cool. Like, so you haven't built anything to make me care about that match. All right. To make me care about the possibility of that match of Moxley versus Page. Like, that's how, I don't want to say it, but that's how flat this finish was. And it wasn't, that's not even right. That's not what I mean. It just, there's missing something in that storyline and in that finish that would make me really care. But I right now I'd be like, I don't care about Moxley versus Page. I just don't. I'm sorry.
Again, I think Page is to me the type of guy that, decent promo. In fact, he's had very good promo at times. During Swerve Strickland and him had, in my opinion, a sometimes over the top, but at times it was really good professional wrestling at point in times, the way they set that up at some times. I can't say all the time, you know, and all that. But and plus, by the way, Anarchy, they still have this, you know, as far as the, or was it the Anarchy, but where they had another gross, like, not the hypodermic needle this time, but they did something else with the, yeah, just beyond, they're going beyond on the hardcore as far as they're going beyond that. I don't even want to go ahead and go into it. It's like, okay, you have a purpose for this, and really just inflict more pain on the wrestlers. It's not really doing for your numbers, but. Be that as it may, I'll just say this, you know, Hangman Page, is he the guy you want to build a company around? You've been a champion already and it didn't move the needle. I think he should always be in AEW, someone that's near there, but mm-hmm. not always the guy that you can bank on. Moxley right now, he's lost a lot of his thunder as champion. I'm not in love with Ospreay as far as him on the mic. I think he's not a good promo. I'm just going to say that and just put that out there. I don't like him as a promo. I like him as a wrestler. Even though his style is so fantastic at times, it starts to repeat itself on the number of things that he's doing in the ring. So it doesn't look quite as spectacular. Maybe he needs to go ahead and, change things up a little bit so his style really appeals to a broader audience. But we'll see. But he is the guy that I think they're going to move around. And I think Will Ospreay, again, with his 10,017 star matches, according to Dave Meltzer, will go ahead and into All In, I think, win the title. I just, again, I still think MJF, just charisma-wise and in the match ring, is still your most promotable wrestler. And you're doing whatever you can not to promote him well, which I have a problem with. But again, need I digress, John?
That whole storyline is just to make the Hurt Syndicate baby faces. And they shouldn't be baby faces. That they should not. How impressive is it that they have, you know, come together, won those tag belts, and they need to hold on to those tag belts for a very long time? They should be your focus point of the tag team division. And I just get tired of people flip-flopping all the time. Just stay heels. You got a great manager, great mouthpiece, and MVP. You got Shelton and Bobby who are just really good in the ring. And that's all this is. Let's put MJF with them. They'll turn into the heels, or the baby faces, excuse me, because he will do something or say something. You know, we already saw it. You know, a Double or Nothing. There was that little moment of tension.
They don't need to be together. The Hurt Business could be the best thing for AEW in a long time. They are absolutely killing their competition, and everybody is loving it. And there's no need to put them together. I just don't get it. I just don't understand it. They are two separate entities that should be promoted well. And I'm hoping it leads eventually to that, but to put them together right now, I don't know, MJF has come off as even more goofy than needed to be. I'm just puzzled by it. But again, that's neither here nor there. I'll leave AEW with this. Mercedes Moné won her match to defend her title. And then, of course, Toni Storm with the AEW World Championship also defended hers. It is also leading into an all-in match between Mercedes Moné and Toni Storm. I know that the acquisition of Mercedes Moné was lauded by some, and I thought it would be much better, more effective in its entirety. Hasn't shown out that way on many levels. But they're insistent on keeping her strong, which I would still recommend. But going forward, what do you do? What do you do at this point in time? I think she's undefeated in AEW. So what are your thoughts on this, my friend, on where you go with Mercedes Moné and Toni Storm? Because it certainly looks like it's leading into All In.
Well, let's recap. All In is in, what, July? The early July somewhere?
Yeah, I believe so. I'll go and check for you, my friend. Go ahead.
So I want to see a build. I want to see a proper build. I don't want to see 2 weeks out, we just slap together a flimsy storyline. And
it's July 12th.
It's July 12th. Okay. So I want to build. That gives you, I don't know, I'm going to ballpark it. That gives you almost 6 weeks, 7 weeks, whatever, to build up something that we care about. See my previous comments about, you know, Hangman Page and getting the opportunity to go for the world title. Again, build something that I care about, that the fans care about, and go from there with this. And look, I like Toni Storm. I think she's been a bright spot through the company for as long as she's been doing this timeless shtick.
I think her and Mariah May was fantastic as far as mm-hmm. I know that some people said it was play. I don't think so. I thought that worked brilliantly. Mm-hmm. And I think that from beginning to end, I think that's one of the best Tony Khan written angles in a probably sea of bad angles. But that's probably the best angle that they might have done ever in AEW, in my opinion.
And I agree with that. So if I, as a fan, that's what I want to see. I want to see Mercedes Moné come out, do her over-the-top heel gimmick. Do not let them touch each other. Keep them separated. Let Toni Storm do these wild vignettes, you know, like she's done since she's done this character. Build it, you know, have them interact for weeks, but do not let them interact with each other in a physical way until the show in All In. That's what I want. That's what I think needs to happen. That would be money well spent. And Moné can do it. I'm sure she can do it. She can build a proper program. And I'm sure that Toni Storm can too. Do it. There's no excuses. I think that's, to me, the biggest hurdle that they're going to have with this match is, are they going to take time, play a little bit of a, you know, longer game, quote unquote, for this build, and let us have a good payoff at All In.
Once again, it is John Orlando from the PVD Cast, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching this thing. If you have thoughts on AEW and where they're at and their booking and you know, whatever it is you want to talk about, what concerns All Elite Wrestling, please let us know. Pop Culture Cosmos or also as well, the PVD Cast right there. But before we head on out, I wanted to go ahead and touch on a couple things that I would like to talk about. I've mentioned it to you before. Mm-hmm. WrestleMania, WWE liked going back to New Orleans so much, and the Rock's announcement of WWE going back to New Orleans so much that they decided, you know, we actually enjoyed Las Vegas. Oh, that's the rumor. It hasn't been, it's made official yet. But the rumor is that we liked Las Vegas so much, we're leaving New Orleans. We're going to go back to Las Vegas. Your thoughts on this? It just reminds me, I understand it was always a corporate and money decision when Vince McMahon was running it. And I do not want to say in any stretch of the imagination that I would want Vince McMahon to start running that WWE, this WWE ever again. I don't. But we're even more under TKO, very profit, currency oriented. They've always have been. To an extent, but it seems like it's been turned up to 10, which again, it's a capitalistic country. It's a company that needs to earn revenue and appease its shareholders. By all means, you got to do what you got to do. It's up to the fans to say, at what point do you stop spending money, or what limit do you stop spending money? So if that's the case, it's obvious that Las Vegas, you know, the numbers were out there, 120,000, over 120,000 total for that weekend. I told you my experience on the day after walking the strip and seeing so many wrestling fans out there still going to the WWE experience and buying a whole bunch of stuff, coming out of people coming out there with shirts, racks of shirts in their hand. I can see why they wanted to come back to Las Vegas, John. You know, it is all about money. When they say it's not about money, it is always about the money, my friend.
But how can they do this and not face any type of repercussions? Like, I'm not saying they're breaking laws, but how can you say, New Orleans, we're bringing WrestleMania to you, and then in a couple weeks go, you know what, never mind, here's money in the bank.
Now they figure anybody who's targeted already as far as any travel plans can easily change it without getting canceled or whatnot.
It just seems really kind of sketchy to an extent to me that you're promising one thing and then it's the bait and switch.
Later on in this decade or in the not too distant future, when we're talking about WrestleMania Saudi Arabia or in the case of London, because the mayor Khan, his last name Khan, has been so adamant about getting WrestleMania here. At some point in time, they're going to put the dollar amount that's going to bring WrestleMania to those locations. At this point, WWE, it's all about the money. It always has been about the money. In fact, you know, that was Shane's McMahon song, you know, coming down the aisle and whatnot. So it's always been about the money, but now even more so. And if that's the case, it's just a reality of life. It's at what point do we as fans want to say, you know what, this is too much. I'm not going to spend enough on it. I'm not going to spend my time on it. And we'll go from there. But right now, the wrestling is compelling enough to go ahead and say, we'll spend the $500, $600, $700, in some cases, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 on these experiences for these weekends in WrestleMania. And again, if it works as it did in Las Vegas, evidently they earn probably more. They haven't officially said that they did, but I have a feeling it's one of the biggest weekends ever in WWE history, if not the biggest. So how can you go away from that?
Money talks and everything else walks.
WWE walks,
yeah. I mean, again, what about, I don't know, I don't know if this is a good analogy, but it reminds me of the Olympics. Like, people clamor to get the Olympics and
World Cup
is another fine example. Exactly. Like, you clamor to get these, you want to pay these fees, you want to pay whatever you can pay to get it. But at least I think in the WWE standpoint, the city of Las Vegas made some money. Where maybe you don't make that money back in the Olympics or World Cup or whatnot.
Because you're building different stadiums and things of that nature for Olympics and whatnot. Yeah, so I get it. But this is, everything's already set up. This case, if they are coming back to Las Vegas, I think there's some logistic things where they can't put everything in the same exact place due to other scheduling things that they're going to have to work out. But yeah, believe me, trust me, if they can't put the WWE experience at the convention center, if it's booked, there's other places, Mandalay Bay, MGM, there's a ton of places on the strip or near the strip that can actually accommodate that. So again, it is what it is. It's all about the money. It's all about the dollars. And we'll see what happens if it officially gets announced that Las Vegas is getting it again. Doesn't hurt me. Because it's coming back here. Maybe I'll actually get a chance to go ahead and see it and experience more of it this time around. maybe, who knows, John may decide to go ahead and get a bank loan and decide to come by. And
well, I got mortgage the house again, but that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. So we can go chat and check out all the 32 or 42 or 52 different independent shows that are out there during the course of that week. That'll happen next year. So I'm looking forward to it, my friend. But before we head on out, I did want to ask you a simple question.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a number three, or can there be a number three? I mean, the WWE is clearly a number one. AEW at this time, based off their fat check that they get from Warner Brothers, is clearly a number two. With the scene going on in Japan, with some struggling New Japan, you know, their recent shows at the Tokyo Dome, getting what I think it got less combined in both days to fill up maybe half of what one day at WrestleMania was. So that's obviously telling you that, there's some hard times there. And the different various wrestling promotions are, again, for varying levels of success there. Mexico, we talked about AAA doing so well that they had to sell to WWE. CMLL is doing okay. It's doing pretty good on their own. I think they are still considered the number one promotion. I don't know. Depends on who you want to talk to about that covers Lucha Libre, whether or not they consider CMLL number one or AAA number one. But I would probably lean slightly. I would say a 1-1A in that country right now. Between those two entities. But with TNA, NXT, I just don't see a number three right now. NWA, MLW, GCW, whoever you want to put there, Scott DeMore's Maple Leaf Wrestling, there is not a definitive number three. I know that the Real American Wrestling is coming up in the not-too-distant future. That's supposed to promote real freestyle wrestling, but I think that's going to be regionally accepted, regionally based as far as where it's promoted, where it's shown, where it's done, and who follows it. Because again, the sport itself at the amateur level is only followed in certain areas, like in your neck of the woods, in the central part of the United States.
Yeah.
It is more heavily followed than where I'm at in the western part of the United States, substantially. So I don't know if that will grow into a number three type promotion, even though it is supposed to be real freestyle wrestling. What if Vince McMahon decides, instead of an entertainment company that he wants to do, he could go out and do a sports entertainment instead, this type deal? I mean, he could go out, he could find the necessary funds. He could just pull out his bank card, because he's got $1 billion after selling all of the stock. He obviously still has some ties to the TV world. I didn't say I like it. I didn't say I want it to done. Obviously, he still has his legal issues, as was mentioned earlier today, as far as Johnny Ace now being let out of the lawsuit so that he could testify possibly against Vince McMahon. So juiciness there. But is there a number three right now, in your opinion? Because NXT, you really can't say it's a number three because it's an extension of the WWE. And now TNA, you might have to say it's an extension of the WWE as well.
That's exactly what I was saying. I threw both of those names out off the list.
AAA is now an extension of WWE as well.
I think by default, I'm going to say that MLW might be number three.
But they don't even have a TV product. They've got YouTube, man. YouTube
That's what I was going to say. I think the biggest problem that they have, much like the NWA, is that there's not a good exposure for them. They're on YouTube, and I know people go, well, it's on YouTube, you can easily pull it up. But yeah, but then there's sometimes where I want to just turn on the TV and it's there. I don't want to have to search for it. I don't want to have to put, I know that makes me lazy, I know, but I want to be able to have it at my fingertips and not have to search in the search bar of YouTube, MLW, May 25th episode, blah, blah, blah. Like, I just don't want to do it. I want it to be right there at my fingertips. I don't know. I think that I got to say, maybe MLW gets the nod because of the talent that they have had there, Jacob Fatu, and maybe the talent that they still have there, Alex Hammerstone, you know, Mads Kruger, some of those folks. Again, they're not a strong number three. You know, for all intents and purposes, back in the day, I think we all agree that the AWA was a strong number three. But I don't think there's a strong one here right now. So, I mean, by default, we'll call it, I'll say MLW.
I don't think there is one. I really don't. I think there's a WWE way notch below AEW. And then after that, there's this big chasm that, you know, all the for other various reasons, whether it's just they've been small and stayed small, or whether they were once large like New Japan and it's just seen the, not seeing the best of times. I just don't see a number three at this point in time, which, you know, if Vince McMahon, you know, I know he's approaching 80, decides to get that itch and he doesn't have a no-compete issue, I would not put it out of the realm of possibility. I just put it again, he's having his legal issues. There are a lot of allegations, and they're very exact and distinct allegations, to say the least. And I'll let you decide whether or not he's guilty or not. And I know that's going to happen in a court of law as far as the lawsuit is concerned. So we'll see what happens there. But I say right now, there is no definitive number three out there. Again, whether or not that's good for pro wrestling, we'll wait and see, my friend. But I just think the more viable contenders, the more viable places for someone to sustain a living makes it better for me. And I'm just not sure in 2025, all these smaller entities, there's one or two bad shows and they are really susceptible to being gone. This point, so that to me is a great concern. Any of these small promotions, they are one or two shows away, in my opinion, bad shows away or not populated shows away from really facing hard times.
Well, and you know what, you proved me somewhat correct, and I should probably go ahead and just, you know, recant my statement. The fact that I had to struggle to come up with a third one is evidence enough that there isn't a strong third promotion. So and now what that's going to take, I don't know. Maybe it's going to take some mergers of some of those smaller companies together. Maybe it's going to be one of those promotions finally gets a big TV deal. Maybe, you know, it just, there's too much unknown out there for some of these small wrestling companies to make an impact, pun intended on that somewhat.
So it is John Orlando, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Want to thank you so much for stopping by Into the Ring, Into the World of Pro Wrestling. If you have any thoughts, you disagree with me, you disagree with John, you agree with us, please leave those comments below. And make sure, if you can, like John's Facebook page, The PBD Cast. Make sure you follow his shows, The PBD Cast and Matt Talk. And please support us here at the Pop Culture Cosmos as well. It is truly, truly appreciated. You know, we're like those entities. We're small. We're here. We're providing good content. So please support us with a like and subscribe. Do whatever you can to support us right here at the State of Pro Wrestling on the PBD Cast and also as well Pop Culture Cosmos indeed. John, it's been a great show, my friend. Any last thoughts before we head on out into a summer of pro wrestling?
No, you know what? I enjoy, again, the opportunity to come on and talk to you about pro wrestling. I love doing the State of Pro Wrestling. Well. And folks, yeah, definitely, you know, keep supporting all of Gerald's projects, my projects, everyone's projects. It's a small independent creator, you know, creating content for you folks out there. Support us however you can. We greatly appreciate it. I think I can speak for Gerald by saying that.
So for John Orlando from the PBD Cast, it's me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again so much for listening and watching. Truly appreciate it. It's the State of Pro Wrestling. We'll be back late in June to go ahead and cover the world of pro wrestling like no one else as we step back into the ring or into the cage. Because if there's any other contenders out there, we'll go ahead and face them in the cage. We'll face them in an Anarchy of the Arena, arena match. Anarchy in the Arena match. Man, it's hard to say. Anarchy in the Arena match. We'll
are
face
you,
them.
Are you jumping off the forklift? Because I'm not.
What the hell? Why not? Just what the hell? So for John Orlando, it's Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching, listening. We'll be back this time next month, right here on the Stand Up Pro Wrestling from the PVD Cast, and of course the Pop Culture Cosmos. Ding ding ding.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Gerald Glassford and yours truly talking about the state of pro wrestling, talking about all the news from the WWE, AEW, and you even heard us discuss the possibility of a third wrestling promotion coming on the scene. So I hope that you enjoyed this experimental, I guess you could say, edition of the PVD cast. So please let me know what you thought about Gerald and I tag teaming, so to speak, on this episode. And, you know, speaking of getting in touch with me, there's a couple different ways you can do that. First of all, you can shoot me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, or Threads accounts. Just look for @PVDcast. You can shoot me an email if you like, johnorlando@PVDcast.com. And I'm still even on Twitter. Just look for my personal Twitter, @PVDMVP. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about this show and where they can hear it. Or there's a bunch of different avenues for that as well. First off, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and the best place to get every single new episode of the show. But it's also available through all of those podcasting outlets, you know, like Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Amazon, etc., etc. All you have to do is go to your search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And speaking of those apps and those outlets, please rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and it tells those outlets and apps that you are listening to the show. It's super duper important for myself and all the independent podcasters out there that we get good ratings, we get good reviews. And so again, please do so. You don't have to write anything complicated. Keep it short and sweet and to the point. And I would greatly appreciate it. And actually, while you're rating and reviewing, you should also subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. Then there's one final way that you can catch the week's episode, and that is by, of course, listening to the live broadcast that I do every single Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to @PVDcast on Facebook on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, and you can listen to the episode that way. So there are three great ways to catch the PVD cast. PVDcast.com, through your favorite online app or outlet, and of course, Wednesday nights, through the Facebook page, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent. Stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.